You're listening to Awake, a men's podcast by Fellowship Bible Church. Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of the Awake podcast, where we are wrapping up our summer series called Behind Closed Doors. Over the past two episodes, we have had conversations on a biblical foundation for sex and marriage. We've had conversations around conflict and communication. And today we are going to be diving into some even deeper waters and facing where things might be broken in our relationships and how we can move in hope and in healing on a path forward. Sean couldn't be here with us today, but Bob was more than happy to jump back onto the episode.
Always great to be here.
Welcome back. It's good to have you, man.
Great to be here.
And our even more special guest, no offense, Bob, but we have Amanda Ammons on the episode today. Amanda is a professional Christian therapist here in Topeka with a specialty in an area that I think is going to be very useful to our conversation today. So Amanda, thank you for being on the episode.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
So would love to just hear a little bit from you for the sake of our audience who may not know you.
Yeah.
Maybe they know some of your family members, but can you share a little bit about your family background at FBC and what you do for work?
Yeah, for sure. So my family, I had to go back and ask my parents because I was like, I don't remember when we started going to fellowship, but we were at the old building, like the first one. And so
like
back
Indian Hills.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
cool.
2002
nice.
Was when we started coming here, and I've been here ever since, pretty much, other than I went down to John Brown University for undergrad and for grad school and came out of that and came back and said, I need grandparents to help take care of my babies.
Smart. Yep.
But yeah, no, I'm excited for this because my job is to just talk about sex all day long. That's pretty much what what I do. I'm a counselor, but my heart and passion is for especially people in the church and their healthy sexuality, and all of that. So, yeah.
Awesome. Excellent. And you're married?
Yes.
And you have how many kids?
Yes. I'm married to Caleb, and we've been married for almost 10 years, and I've got two kids. I've got a 6-year-old and a 5-year-old, and they're little banshees. They're great.
Awesome. That's awesome. Well, we are super glad to have you on. And I'm just kind of curious, just as a little bit more background, like why this particular area of focus in therapy?
Yeah. So I was trying to go through that this morning as I was reading the question, and I was like, I don't know. There's so much that goes into it. But I think the main thing for me is I went to college at a Christian university where we were learning so much about the Bible, and we were learning about our faith, and we were integrating it into our professions. And I read Song of Songs, and I went, okay, nobody's ever preached on this. What is happening here? Why does nobody ever talk about this? And then I got engaged and got so excited. I was like, I'm about to have sex. This is going to be amazing. I cannot wait. And yet I would go around and ask people in the church, like, tell me what it's like. Tell me what's good. How do I do this? Can, like, literally how? Give me some of that information. And it was a topic that people just danced around. They're like, it's a gift and it's good and, you know, things like that. And I was like, no, 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 no. I want to know the how. Like, I want to know the why. Yeah. I want to know all of it. So just found myself doing a lot of research and going into marriage beautifully prepared. And then a few years in, so Caleb and I got married before most of our friends. And a few years in, I realized all of my friends had no clue what was going on. They weren't research minded like I was. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to start talking. So every couple that came over, every person that came over, I was like, how's your porn addiction? How's your sex life? How's like, tell me, what do you need? What do you need guidance in?
How many people were just squirming? Yeah. Just like, oh gosh.
Yes.
Come over.
I came for dinner and I got these questions. Okay. I'm not hungry anymore.
Pretty much. Yeah. I kind of became a person that was like they knew what they were coming, but it was, they were very, very shocked. And but we had such good conversations, and I realized, I was like, nobody does this. How can I have these conversations? And I went into counseling with so much more than just that topic in mind. I wanted to be a safe place for people. I wanted to be the holding hands of Jesus to people as much as I could. And I think I can do that in a counseling room. But then I also realized, not only does the church not talk about it as much as I think that they should, but neither do counselors. And so I started going into this field, and counselors were like, here, let me hand off the person with the sex problem to you. And I was like, okay, arms
Bring
open.
It on.
Like, this is good.
Yeah.
This is what I love. I'm comfortable. God's got me. God's got you. And so that was kind of, how that played out.
Were you surprised at the number of people that were coming your way then?
Oh, yeah. Well, what I was most surprised by was how many counselors feel inadequate in this area, and how many Christians feel inadequate in leading others and discipling others in this area. So that was, that's what's been most shocking, I think.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, as we kind of have covered the topic of sex in the first two episodes that we've talked about, it's been fairly big picture. You know, we've kind of been talking like, hey, what does God's word have to say? But we didn't even touch Song of Songs or Song of Solomon. And we could spend weeks, months digging into everything that is written in that book. So just shameless quick plug, go ahead and read that before you dive into conversations with your spouse around sex. But I am really excited today as we kind of move into the area of identifying, you know, how things are going in our relationships and how we can move to a place of hope in when sexual brokenness has happened, when there's been betrayal, when there's been broken down trust and conversation, and when to get help beyond what we have in either our community or our friends, or even frankly that sometimes just us in the church can offer to find professional help as well. So that's kind of where we're going today. Yeah. So I wanted to just start with one question to kind of maybe set the stage and help people who are listening maybe identify themselves in this process too. What might be some signs that a couple might be settling for less than what God intends for intimacy and maybe don't realize it?
Yeah, for sure. So I think there are the couples that kind of already overtly know, like, our sex life isn't going well. And those ones are pretty easy. And they're like, yes, we need help. But when I hear you ask that question, I hear the people that come into my room and I ask them, so how is sex? And I ask explicitly, how does it go? What do you do? What does it look like? And they go, well, it's like this. We do it this many times a week. This is what foreplay looks like. This is what cleanup looks like. This is the position, et cetera. And if they're able to describe that to me, just kind of pat answer, mostly deadpan faces where they're like, this is just what we do. I'm like, we're missing it. I know it. I know we're missing it. It's the couple that comes in and goes, oh, it is so good. I am so loved by my spouse. I am so cared for in sex that I'm like, now that's where we're at. And so if sex looks the same and feels the same every time, you're missing something, because you are a very flexible human being, and that your life changes, you grow, you change as a person, you change daily. And sex should be a reflection of that. It should be fast when it needs to be fast, slow when it needs to be slow, loving and gentle and playful. It should be the times where you're angry and you come together anyway. You're sad and you come together to comfort each other. And so if it's feeling kind of bland, that's where I go, you're probably missing out on the beauty of God.
And maybe not necessarily that things are like despair, right? You're just like, you don't have to despair. This might just be like, hey, we need to have like a tune-up conversation. So much like everything is broken down and it's irreparable and you necessarily need to go to counseling right then. But it is a good sign that maybe something is not 100%.
I think you can get caught up in just doing the same old, same old. It just becomes routine. Not that it's a bad routine.
No.
But it's just you're not extending the parameter there to get to a place where you could get. You're kind of falling short, as opposed to going, what can we do different? How can we make this more fun and exciting? Instead of getting caught in the routine.
Yeah. And I think it's so much like your spiritual walk with God as well. Like, you never, if it's feeling bland, push in. What are you missing? Because God is not a bland God. He is so creative and cool and awesome.
Yeah.
And so if it does get routine, what's the next step? It can always get better.
So do you typically see that maybe one spouse thinks things are going well and one doesn't? Or are they both kind of agreeing in silence that, hey, maybe our sex life isn't what it could be when they're kind of coming in for help?
Yeah, I like the way you worded that, agreeing in silence.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people will say, yeah, it's going okay, but under the surface,
we both know.
We just haven't said it. Yeah.
Oh, and why do you think it's so hard for couples, and maybe specifically Christian couples, to admit that sex in their marriage isn't what it could be?
Yeah, I think that answers.
Or maybe they are. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think they're definitely, I think that's a great question. Yeah. Because I see that kind of twofold. One, if you are admitting that sex isn't going as great, you're either looking at you specifically have a problem. And that's just hard to admit. Like, if you look at your sex life and you go, well, why? And it has to do with you. Mm-hmm. That's a confession. Mm-hmm. And looking right. at where is your spirit and where is your soul and what do you need to mend? Or you're having to get into the nitty gritty of your marriage and your relationship. Mm-hmm. Because sex is a display of what's going on in your relationship. Mm-hmm. And so if you're saying that sex isn't good, well, what's wrong in your marriage? Yeah, and a lot of people don't want to dig into those hard conversations.
Yeah. And what about for you, Bob? Like, what do you see when couples are avoiding this topic?
Yeah, I would say the same thing in that it's usually the last thing that comes to the top of the table. Mm-hmm. The first things we talk about, you can tell things aren't right in a relationship, and then you find out they don't have any intimacy at all.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, they're not sharing their life together. And there's
not
really,
just physically.
Not just physically. Yeah. There's just no friendship. There's no collaboration between the two of them in many things at all. Mm-hmm. And then it comes around to, I always ask, how's your emotional intimacy? Mm-hmm. How's your spiritual intimacy? How's your physical intimacy?
Yeah.
And I know when I ask those first two, if those are lacking, the third one's a for sure.
Mm. Exactly.
It's just not happening.
Yep.
So then what does, like, if guys are kind of listening to this and they maybe can identify, like, yes, sex in my relationship with my wife is not where I want it to be, or maybe we're both kind of in this space, so like, we do it just because we know it's what we're supposed to do, but it's not life-giving and fulfilling. Yeah. How would you unpack what a healing journey might look like for couples who feel disconnected sexually?
I think in counseling, at least what I do is it always starts with awareness. You have to come in and you have to look at the problem for what it is. You have to know what's going on, and you have to accept ownership of yourself, of your partner, of where you guys stand. And honestly, that does a lot of the work, simply awareness, because we are creatures who don't like to look at the hard things. Mm-hmm. But starting that, and then the second step is sharing that. So sharing that awareness that you have of yourself and being real with your spouse and going, this is me. This is who I am. This is what's going on deep down. And this is a part of sexuality that I need to share with you. And that could be simply just, I'm sad. I'm feeling disconnected from myself, or me and my relationship with God. It's just been hard lately. That impacts your sexuality with your spouse. And so starting awareness and then sharing that in that intimate space. Mm.
So I think that's really helpful for like a self-awareness. Mm. How does a husband maybe approach their wife in that conversation to seek to discover or uncover some of those things as well? If it's not maybe forthwith in the relationship, like maybe your wife isn't just coming forward and being like, hey, this is what I need sexually, or this is kind of what I'm lacking or not experiencing my relationship with God or in our relationship. So how does a husband kind of move towards their wife well in that?
Bridge that topic.
Yeah,
for sure. One, I always just kind of make a rule, do it outside of the moment. Let's not talk about sex when we're having sex, because it's too emotional. If you start saying like, this isn't good right in the moment with this emotion that you're feeling.
Brutal.
Yeah.
That's a buzzkill.
You're going to be creating.
Yeah, buzzkill right there.
Brutal.
Yeah.
You're going to be creating more wounds that you then have to fix later.
Right.
So I like just setting down, and I call it bookending a conversation. Start off something really good with your spouse and go like, let's go get a coffee together, or let's play a game, and then end the conversation really well. And then in the middle, start to share yourself, and also recognize that if you're feeling that way, they probably have something that they're feeling too. And so just opening that door for, do you see the same things? Are you feeling the same? Do you see that in me, or what do you see in me? And kind of coming to the table, both of you, arms wide open.
Do you find that women are open to that, more open than guys think they will be?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a stigma that frustrates the daylights out of me that's put on men that they are not emotional.
Right.
That they are less in tune to themselves, and culture plays into that. And so, your wife might be kind of shocked, like, oh, you want to have this conversation. But more often than not, when those doors are open, most wives are like, whoa, yes, yes, I will talk to you. You want to talk to me about us? Yeah. Of course.
So then how does emotional safety and spiritual safety or unity kind of play into that conversation too?
Yeah. that was a hard one as I was kind of going through that, because I think it's a life skill that has to come into play. So one of the books that I read every single year is called The Listening Life. Mm-hmm. And it is just central to who God is and how he treats us with empathy and kind of this listening affect. I think emotional safety comes in when you know the other person is going to respond to you positively with love, no matter what. And you can even kind of set the framework ahead of the time for the conversation and go, in this conversation, I need you to only respond with, you felt that way, that was hard, I hear you, God's got us, we're still together.
Right.
And so just kind of creating those general catching statements where you're catching their soul, no matter what they give you.
Yeah. Anything that you would add to any of that?
No, I would say the same thing. I think setting up, framing the conversation, we've talked about that before. Yep. So we know what we're going to talk about. And I think it's interesting that a lot of the couples that I find have problems with their sex lives don't feel safe. And other topics, like I don't feel comfortable talking about money. And so why would I breach the topic on sex if we can't even talk about money?
Yeah.
You know, so it's really about building that fully known, fully loved type of intimacy in every topic. They got to feel safe.
Like, is there a bedrock of trust first?
Yes.
So that the risk is worth it. Because these conversations feel risky. I think we've talked about that on every episode. It's like any guy coming to his wife and admitting any amount of weakness, or really any person, guy or girl, I think admitting weakness is just a hard thing to do. And then also saying, asking for something and then requesting and asking for expectations or having expectation conversations around sex. It's like you're risking being rejected and being denied by the person that you love the most, that should love you the most. And so it just.
And you're asking for things that your whole life you've been told has been dirty.
True.
Yes.
Also this is bad, dirty. We don't talk about that. And now I'm going to ask for that.
Yeah.
That makes it, puts a little more pressure on it. It shouldn't, but it does.
So then can you share any like stories of seeing growth or healing happen? Obviously without sharing names or specifics, that would be detrimental to anybody who is involved.
Yeah, you're
but
good.
I think just being able to hear examples of like, God can do this. Helps us to expand our categories when we just don't believe or we're doubting, like that my relationship can be fixed, that my sex life with my wife can actually be better than it is right now. So I just want to like kind of put you on a soapbox for a minute. Just like,
no, it's good.
What has God done?
I love that question so much because that is my favorite part of what I do. My favorite moment is watching a couple look at me or an individual, whoever I'm seeing, look at me and go, wow, I didn't even know sex could be this good. And I just like, every time I'm like, yes, we've reached it. It's good.
Welcome.
Yes. And this, just that shock factor. And I think one of my favorite ones most recently is I had a older gentleman in his 70s. And again, no names, no identifiers or whatever. But he was coming to me because he was like, me and my wife have hit our last straw. He had a pretty unique sexual addiction that had been going on for his whole life. So that's a lot of years. You know, and he kind of came in, and I think the general attitude was, I really don't know what can be done. And I hear that a lot from men specifically. Well, what can they do? Well, we can do a lot. That's why there's a whole profession. But he was ready. He was willing. He was open. He was willing to listen to the hard things when I said them. He was willing to try and take the homework assignments that I gave him. He was willing to be vulnerable with me. And we met for about half a year. And then he was like, okay, I can't remember how long he had gone, but he had gone a while without this sexual addiction, which was saying a lot for how long he had been stuck in this. And I was like, it's time to ring your wife in. He was like, are you sure? And I'm like, we're going to do this. And he was like, okay. He was really nervous for rejection. He was really nervous about...
Because she didn't know about this?
She did.
Okay.
Well, it's back to that thing of...
Yeah, there's
most
hiding.
Couples know, and they just don't talk about it. And it's so she had an awareness, but it hadn't been this open conversation repeatedly about what he was going through, and her side of it too, because it really impacted her as well.
Sure.
So, but we'd brought her in. We opened that door, and we spent another half a year together. Wow. And they got to a point where they're like, I think that we can do this. We can go forward. And it had been, I don't know, probably 9 months to a year without this addiction, which is saying a lot when wow. you've had 65 years of it,
yep. yeah,
roughly. Wow. Mm-hmm. And I remember the last session with them, and she just started crying with me. And mm. she goes, I was dreading the last 30 years of my life. Mm-hmm. And now I am so excited wow. for marriage. I'm so excited for the last 30 years. And I wow. was like, that's it.
That's so cool.
This is, there is no point that God can't come in.
Yeah.
There's no point yeah, he no. can't redeem.
So great sex will add 30 years to your life. That's what I heard yeah. about. Did anybody else hear
from
that?
From 70 to 100.
Yeah, add 30 more years. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, okay, I'm going to use that line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just...
We can add 30 more years.
And I can only imagine the lack of hope that you would feel after yeah. being married for so long. And I
how long were they
to,
married? Yeah. I mean, he was 70.
Or they've been married the whole time. Years. Like yeah. married in college. And so, okay. yeah, she had stuck with it.
So it could have been 50, just, almost 50 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. She was like, I'm wow. just kind of that mentality of, well, this is just what I got to do. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just in it. And
soldiering through. Right? Yeah. But God does amazing things, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
When he's put into the conversation,
oh, yeah.
I always tell couples, we need to invite Christ into this
yes.
marriage. That's
yes.
what we got to do. That's the first thing we got to do. Yeah.
And into sex. It's
and
an
into
act,
everything.
It's every, an act
all
of
aspects.
Worship.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He should be a part of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And just knowing those kinds of powerful things, like when you hear, man, addiction for 60 yeah. plus years and 50 years of marriage, and yet at what might some might see is like the twilight years of a life and the mm-hmm. twilight years of a marriage mm-hmm. to see new life breathed into that by the Spirit of God with the help of wise guides. It's just like, man, guys, if you're listening to this and that's you, it's yeah. like it is possible. God can bring restoration and healing into your relationship with your spouse, and you can experience life with God in yeah. marriage that is just far beyond what you've experienced
yeah,
at this point.
For sure.
It Always. Is absolutely possible.
For sure.
Any other stories, or do you want to kind of shift to some more practical advice?
I mean, I have like so many I could share. There's not one off the top of my okay. head that's like specific.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I will just leave that as people can send you just emails and phone calls. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
There's more.
But let's get practical for guys that are listening to this and wondering, you know, we've given them some tools mm-hmm. for how to frame conversations, bookend conversations, mm-hmm. and kind of have some of those first steps. Mm-hmm. But then what are some tools and practices to help couples grow in emotional and physical intimacy over time? Like how can even couples who think that they're in a good place sexually mm-hmm. continue to grow in that area of their marriage?
Yeah, I feel like it comes down to looking at what piece of sex together is falling apart. Mm-hmm. And so okay. to kind of lay the groundwork, I think I mentioned it a little bit before, but sex is all of you. That is emotion, that mm-hmm. is soul, that is every single mm-hmm. piece of you open and sharing and saying, here I am, naked and unafraid
yep.
and unashamed and mm-hmm. with you.
Yep.
And when I go through things with couples, I recognize that there's often pieces that they're withholding. So that might be mental, mm-hmm. that might be emotional, that might be spiritual. And so kind of honing in on what is that? What are we withholding ourselves? Mm-hmm. And just checking in with yourself and also seeing what do I feel like they're withholding from me? And then we kind of attack into that area and go, okay, so with like emotional, my go-to recommendation, my go-to homework, which mm-hmm. is kind of the fun piece at the end of our sessions is I want you to talk. I want you to talk all the way through sex. I want you to share every thought that's on your mind, whether it's you going off into your to-do list, whether it's you feeling like really nervous about how sex is going, whether it's you desiring something or feeling uncomfortable or wanting them to touch you in a different way. Talk. Get that emotional piece of you out mm-hmm. because you need to be sharing all of who you yeah. are, your stresses, your desires, everything.
It's a really vulnerable exercise.
That is a, I'm sitting there going, wow, that's, I don't know if I can do that or
yeah,
not.
I know. Yeah.
That's a big ask.
It is.
But I see where you're coming with it. That's,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because the world gives this depiction of sex where it is silent and, or it is dirty talk or it is moans right. or it is whatever.
Right.
And sure, some fun should be in that. But again, you're a whole person. Mm-hmm. Why is it that we suddenly shut the door and we take our clothes off and we switch into this completely different human being?
Right.
That
means, can't talk anymore.
Yeah.
I lose my voice. So my clothes come off.
Yes. Yeah. You're kind of withholding a piece of you and or putting on a play act in order to typically fulfill the idea of an orgasm or have this end goal of what sex should be. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of its own whole topic of sex is so much more than orgasm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, so if it's soul or spirit, where you feel like you're withholding who you are as a person and you feel unseen and you're not seeing them, have sex with your eyes open. And I mean staring in each other's eyes, not just looking around the room. This is you eye to eye, making that connection, seeing them for who they are and staying in the space with them. That is the hardest one.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't remember where I heard this, but there was some either training or sermon or something that just, and it may have been some marriage event or something. It might have been merge of just spending like 5 minutes looking at your wife and just eye to eye.
Yeah.
And like even just talking about it with Allie
seemed a little weird.
Cringe. Like, oh my gosh. Just 5 minutes of staring at each other without trying to make a joke, without trying to make light of it. And to do that in an even more vulnerable space, it's like, whoa, okay, am I? But it does make you question. It's like, man, shouldn't I trust this person this much? Totally. Shouldn't I be willing to put myself this much out there with this person that I trust and love so much? So then it kind of takes me back to the internal introspective question of like, why am I holding that part back? What am I afraid of?
Yeah. And when you try it out, and that's the homework piece is so fun for me because almost always next session, they were like, that was the best sex we've ever had. It was so good.
You're kidding.
And I'm over. Yeah. And
they're not like, that was brutal.
Really weird, man.
They normally say like, it was really awkward. Yeah. But whatever problem it was they were needing to overcome, typically they're like, wow, that was so pleasurable beyond what we've ever experienced. And I'm like, yeah, because you were connecting more than just physically. Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, so then with physical, if you feel like you're withholding your body, the exercises, get naked, get lights on, look at each other and just adore. And this is touching, this is looking, this is complimenting, this is you getting comfortable with yourself and you getting comfortable with all of them. Commenting on, I mean, this is back to Song of Songs, but I mean, it's explicit and it's fun and it's wonderful and sharing your physical body with each other. And then what was
And you
the
said
last
the lights
one?
Had to be on during this time?
Yeah, okay. It does.
Just want to make sure I heard that correctly.
Yeah, there's lots of lights off. And well, that's really fun too. There's often it's used as a cover up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or an excuse. Yeah. For,
when I remember you had said something in one of our prior conversations before recording that, that oftentimes you've talked with couples that they're playing something else out in their mind while they're being intimate with their spouse. And so like the eyes closed, no sharing, they might be physically present, but they are emotionally and in some ways, just intimately absent from their spouse.
You're missing that connection then, completely. It's just like short-circuiting it a little bit.
Yeah, and a lot of that comes into with the culture of internet we have and how explicit sex is in other places where we feel like we have to play out these fantasies or these ideas. Or sometimes if you're not into the sexual experience, then it's like, your brain is just thinking, well, I just want to get this over with. I just want this to be done. I just want to go to sleep. And so getting out of that for sure.
Man, I have a lot of couples. I can, I'd say probably almost 80 to 90% when we do our Symbis assessments, one of the red flags that comes out is body image. So, and mostly women have real body image issues. And I think doing that exercise and being naked with the lights on and having their husband adore them would be huge.
Yep. And that's
that would just be an amazing if they could get themselves to do it. It would really take away this, you're supposed to look like this. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're supposed to look the way God created you to look right now. And there's beauty in that. mm-hmm. when a guy can look at his wife and say, you are beautiful in these ways, mm-hmm. I think that would do a lot in tearing that body image thing down.
No, you hit it spot on. I mean, that's normally where that ends up happening, whether yeah. it's the guy or the girl that's yeah. having body image issues. But yes. And then also turning around and having they themselves share with their spouse what they love about their own body mm-hmm. and sharing that and yeah. saying, I love my chest and here's
yeah.
why.
Yeah.
And the husband getting to go, oh, I didn't even know you liked that about yourself. Like, yeah. absolutely, I'm with you, and finding the unity together mm-hmm. in what you're sharing.
Yeah. It's yeah. just being, you know, scripture says when the two become one, they mm-hmm. know each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oftentimes says David knew her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know what happened. He knew her.
It's not a euphemism.
No, it's like, I know you.
Yeah. Yes.
Everything about you, and that kind of helps create that experience,
yeah,
I think.
For sure.
Yeah.
The other kind of final homework thing that I have is attempting not to reach an orgasm or climax. And that one is the one I find most with Christians
mm-hmm.
because they come into this with, okay, God said to do X, Y, Z. We have a duty. We have something that we're supposed to be doing. And when they reach orgasm for one or the other, then we check it off.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've had sex. No, no, no. You have sex from the moment you start, from the moment you look each other in the eyes, from the moment you interact.
Mm.
And so attempting to drag that out, I think it was in college, I had a professor who gave me a homework, or he gave everyone in the class this concept of, I want you to just make out for an hour, make out to a movie and do nothing about it.
Mm.
And then just know each other and love each other and see each other. And we kind of switch this, we flip a switch. When we get married, well, now we'll just, this right. is what sex looks like. And we forget that piece. That's going back to the routine piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
bring yourself out of that.
Is that more difficult to do when you have children around?
Huh.
And, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I fight with couples all the time yeah. where I'm like, you will have date night or you will not come back to session because I can't yeah. do anything
there
if
you
you're not trying to,
yep.
trying
preach,
to know
sister.
Each other.
Preach. I hear
so
you.
I just got to
yes.
tell Allie, we got to do our homework.
Yeah.
yeah.
We got to do our homework.
Yeah.
I don't want it as much as you, but let's do it anyway.
Yeah. We got to study.
Yes, we got to study.
Yeah. No, it definitely, I mean, it's so tough
yeah.
with young kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough when you're in that busy season of life.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like you've said in other episodes, you know, you've been married to seven different Luann's over
oh,
the
yeah.
course of your marriage
yes,
with her. And I think that is like, I think our sex lives are going to look different at different stages of our relationship.
Maybe.
And that's okay. I don't think they always have to look the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like there should be deep connection,
right. yeah.
deep knowing in all of those
yes.
seasons of life.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Even when they look different, whether
yeah.
we're 28 or 75,
mm-hmm.
whatever that is.
Whatever your age, you are a sexual being because God created you in his image, not despite it.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole way through, you're meant to be interacting
yeah.
in this way.
Yeah. In the covenant of marriage.
Obviously. In the covenant
absolutely.
Of marriage,
yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As if we have to say that, but
no.
we should say it.
For
so
sure.
Here's where I kind of want to shift the conversation to get a little bit more, I don't know, helping guys analyze if they need help beyond listening mm-hmm. to a podcast or mm-hmm. talking with their friends or maybe even just meeting with a mentor
mm-hmm.
That they have in their community group. Like what are some signs that you see in couples that should let them know like, hey, you can't handle this on your own and
mm-hmm.
it's time to maybe get some professional
mm-hmm.
help?
Yeah, I think first kind of looking at Gottman's Four Horsemen
mm-hmm.
of he has defensiveness, he has criticism, contempt, and stonewalling.
Mm.
If you have those in your relationship, then you're probably not going to get anywhere without a third party.
Yeah.
Now, that can be like within the church or that can be with friends as long as you feel like they're going to come in as a pretty outside person giving objective opinions and helping guide you and all of that. But if you have that going on, conversations
mm-hmm.
about your intimate life are very difficult
mm-hmm.
Because you can't bridge the gap over that. You have to come to these with humility.
Absolutely. Especially if there's contempt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just sound, and Gottman talks about that all the time, but if there's contempt in a relationship, you're not moving towards the physical intimacy at all.
Mm-hmm.
You got to
mm-hmm.
fix a lot of other things before you can get there.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I would also say abuse,
mm.
Whether it's past abuse or abuse in the relationship currently. That is just one of those ones where you can find a lot of help with friends, and you should share and you should connect, but it is a trauma, and there are good ways to handle trauma, and there are ways that re-traumatize, that just make it that much more difficult, that get ideas in your head of how you should be overcoming it, and then you just kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but essentially kind of builds this wall around the trauma where you go, I'm just going to get better and better and better in this way, and this is how I do it. And I think when you go to therapy and you open up the trauma for gentle healing and taking it through a process, not just a one-time conversation, then you're going to find at the end of the tunnel, okay, we've gotten somewhere, and now we can go into beautiful intimacy after that.
Yeah, at the American Association of Christian Counselors conference I went to, they talked about that. They said if there is abuse in a marriage, or if there's narcissism to a large extent, you can't work on the marriage.
No.
That person or that situation has to be healed with professional help before you can begin to work on the relationship. So if there's a power imbalance, how are you going to have sex without
in
her feeling?
Way.
In a
healthy way.
Without her feeling. Unsafe, right? Or if there's narcissistic tendencies, that's usually on a spectrum. But if they're high on the spectrum, that's going to be hard to solve those relational problems when there's such deep personal wounds that need to be fixed.
Yeah, and I'll have couples come in to me where I had a couple recently where they both were severely sexually abused in childhood. And so their mental state regarding sexuality was pretty warped, but they kind of came to it, well, we're healing each other. And I'm just like, not really.
You're feeding each other.
You're feeding these lies. And as we got into it, they started to recognize, I realize I need you to be giving me more verbal, explicit consent. That was something that they just hadn't even practiced really in their relationship. And so having a third party come in to say, this is what you should be saying to each other before sex. This is what you should be doing in order to help them heal from the trauma and not be re-traumatized. There's a lot that you don't know, even though it's your own life. There's a lot that someone can help you walk through.
Yeah. The next thing that I wanted to kind of ask, and maybe this is, I don't know if this is more typical of men in marital relationships or women, but what are some, maybe some misconceptions that couples might have when looking for therapy in this area?
Yeah. So the first one is they come in expecting me to just solve it right away.
Sure.
And that's just not.
One or two sessions, maybe.
Yeah. Knock this thing out in two sessions. We'll be good.
And, so they get pretty surprised when I'm like, I just want to hear your story and be empathetic. You would be amazing. You would be amazed, what empathy can do. Like, it is how God treats wounds, and that's why we do it. With his sacrifice and his love and his empathy. And so they come in and they're like, well, why aren't you saying anything? Well, because I'm just listening. Because I'm just loving you. We'll get to the saying things later, but honestly, most of your problems are going to be solved as we just learn to be vulnerable and connect. And so that's kind of the first one. With men, I have a lot of them coming in saying, I don't know what you can do for me. And that there's this concept of the hurts or the pains are so deep-seated that there's nothing anyone can do. And so kind of starting to just have a hope mindset of the possibilities of what if. What if it could be better?
I think a lot of guys think, if I can't fix it, who can? You know,
there
it's that machismo kind of, you know, if I can't fix it, she can't fix it, you know, or they can't fix it.
What's telling you going to do about it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's really interesting. I'm questioning that in myself, too.
It's like, as you contemplate
how
these.
How often do I think that same thing? It's like, if I can't do it, well, nobody else can. It's like, wow, that's a pretty arrogant thought that I
totally
have with
is.
Myself sometimes.
It totally is.
But I'm sure that that is, you know, common. We have exhausted our resources in trying to solve a problem. And I think that in this area, it is important to recognize that we don't often have everything we need in order to address the issues that are in front of us sexually in our relationships with our spouses.
I have a lot of couples come in and they'll tell me there's what's going on in their marriage. And they go, I don't think this can be fixed. What do you think? And I think, oh, I think it can be fixed. Why? Because God says so.
Always.
He says all things are possible, and I take him at his word. So if he says all things are possible, I don't care what you bring. It can absolutely be fixed. The question is, are you willing to lean in? And are you willing to make some changes?
Yeah.
And if you are willing to lean in, invite Christ into your marriage, make some changes, change the way you think about things, which changes what you believe, which changes how you behave, we can have, this can absolutely be done. It'll be the most beautiful thing you've ever encountered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you gotta be willing to lean in.
Mm. Yeah. And open up yourself to the possibility that you're not the only one.
Right.
You're not alone. Yeah. Maybe your situation is unique to you because you have an entire lifetime building up to whatever is going on. But you're not some enigma.
Mm-hmm.
Like
right.
You are just as human as everyone else. And if someone else has been able to solve this, then I'm willing to bet the 11 years that I went to get all this education might have something to say to help you.
Yeah. And I always also tell them, I go, you know, God is not surprised by this.
Mm-mm.
You didn't take him by surprise. Oh my goodness.
Right.
Susie and Jack are in the office here talking about their sex life. I didn't see that one coming. Mm-hmm. He's not that. He knows what's happening.
Yeah.
And he puts you together for a reason. Mm-hmm. Now, the key is, will you listen to him and be guided by his word? And like I said, lean in, seize a professional who can help you do these things and make the changes.
Yeah. So I guess another question that I think might come up is, what happens if one person in the relationship is not interested in getting help and the other one is? Like, where would they start? What would you recommend?
In that situation, go yourself. Do what you can do.
Yeah.
It's amazing what one person in a marriage can do. If you change yourself, you will see changes in your spouse. Maybe not right away, and maybe not in the ways that you're always wanting, but you will see changes. And I have couples come in where one is like, I want to come, and the other one, I was dragged here. And I always kind of start with, do you want to be here in any capacity? Because as long as you, maybe you don't believe it can be changed, but you'd like to be here, then I can work with that. Mm-hmm. But if you truly don't want to be there, there is nothing we can do. Mm-hmm. I can't make you motivated to stay in the relationship. Mm-hmm. I can't make you motivated to make things better. Mm-hmm. And so forcing your spouse to come, it doesn't work. Yeah. So just go yourself.
Yeah. I would agree with that 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. If they don't want to be there, I always just say the only person in this relationship you can fix is you.
Yeah,
you can't fix them. You can do, but you have complete control over you.
Yeah.
So fix you, and in a relationship, it takes two. So if one of them changes and gets better, they're going to get better.
Yeah,
it may not be to the point where they want to be, but there's going to be some change.
Yeah. So Amanda, what would you? You know, Bob and I are sitting here as two guys who work full time in the church, who work with people in a variety of different places of life. And you work in a context outside of everyday church life. How can the church do better to support couples in this area?
Yes, I will try not to get on my soapbox. Like I love obviously the church and what it does. It is so necessary, but it boggles me sometimes how much in the history of the church we haven't talked about sex and talked about it in a good way. Like it is the picture of eternity. It is the picture of the Trinity. It is beautiful. It is I truly believe, and this is where I just get so excited, where I'm like, sex in a marriage where you are both vulnerable is the closest you can get to God. Just bringing him in with prayer and worship and connecting. And for some reason that's missed in the church. And sometimes I think that there is a fear of saying the wrong thing. Like if we talk about sex, what if we slip up in the pulpit? What if we slip up in one of the classes and say something maybe a little bit off? You're probably gonna, the church has messed up so many things, but the worst thing that you can do is not talk about it. Because,
I'll be honest, it was frankly my concern of even having a 3-part series on sex at all. It's like, I feel like I'm walking dangerous ground, just inviting the conversation at all. And I don't necessarily know why I feel that way, that it feels scary or risky, like I'm inviting backlash or criticism to have a conversation about something that's in God's word. Like, I don't know why that's such a hard thing for me to just get on board with, but yeah, sorry, continue.
No, it's good. True. I just think that the world talks about it so much, and we as Christians have the biggest claim over sex. Like, we worship the creator who created it and us.
Yep.
We have the biggest claim. We should have the biggest voice. And we shouldn't be afraid of having these open conversations. And I think in my profession, and obviously I'm seeing the people who are coming and saying I need help, I see the gentle things of like, we would just like a better sex life. But I also see hurts and pains so deep that would just shock you to share the stories. And they are just as in the church as they are anywhere else.
Yeah.
Sometimes more so because of the shame and the fear we've created in not speaking up about the glory of sex with God.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I've heard it put that when two become one, there's a mingling of the souls. And I just think that's a great expression. I think I mentioned that in the very first podcast. And I think that's such a true truism. And it's God. I say God invented it. It's his deal. We should be the ones shouting from the rooftop, hey, sex is great. We ought to be doing it all the time, people. What are we waiting for?
He's so happy about it. Like,
exactly.
He loves you having sex with your spouse when it is vulnerable and open and wonderful. Yeah.
Yep, all the time. And so many people just think, no, it's just to have babies, just to have kids, and it's a duty. No, it's really not. It's really part of your worship. It's part of your worship.
It is.
And we got to get over being afraid to talk about it and to engage in that, for sure.
Yeah.
And so ironically, you know, I titled this series Behind Closed Doors, but in reality, it's like we need to bring these conversations into the light and have these conversations more openly, more vulnerably, less fearfully or less ashamedly to be able to talk about, you know, when sex is going well in our marriages, when it's going poorly, helping one another, praying for one another. I just think I think maybe this is a piece of it too. I think we're so afraid of potentially causing somebody to stumble in one way or another when you talk about sex, that it keeps us from having any conversations at all. Whether that be through lust, through resentment, through bitterness, like if you're hearing from somebody that their sex life with their spouse is going great and then you're resentful about that, it's like there's a number of different ways. But I don't think that we should let that stop us from having conversations in a God-glorifying and fruitful way that is for the betterment of our marriages and for the glory of God. Sure. And I think this is a good way of starting that, showing how it can happen. But Amanda, you have right now a captive audience of a lot of men in our church listening to this podcast. What would you want to say to them on the topic of sex and marriage? As kind of a final thought.
Oh my goodness.
I did not prep you for this one.
No, it's good. My heart just is so excited and hurts for so many people at the same time. And so I think, again, kind of that twofold thing for me. One, you aren't alone. You're never alone in this. God sees you. And if you will let someone else see you, it's going to be okay. The number of times, even just this week, that I had somebody share something that was, they never thought that they would share. They thought they were going to take it to their grave. And they come in and say, I've never told anybody. And they share and they leave with tears and a lightness to them because they were open about it. You are not alone. No matter whether you're in the church or in a marriage or what it is, you are not alone. And in that, the other side of it is, you haven't reached it. I haven't reached it. Like, my sex life is so good, but I haven't reached all there is that God has to offer. And I will continue praying for my own sex life and offering it up to the Lord. And I just ask you to look at your intimate life with hope, with God's view of it, that it is for his glory and for his good and yours as well. Have hope. Don't give up. Don't think that you're stuck. Don't think that this is life. Find somebody, seek someone out, be vulnerable, share. You're not alone. So those are,
That's great. Amanda, thank you so much for just being here to share your wisdom and experience and stories and to help us navigate a difficult conversation. Like, this has been, for me, a really enlightening 3 months of walking through these conversations and coming to the place of realizing, man, I have so much growing to do in this area. And I would have said at the start of this process that everything was going great. Marriage is great. Sex life is great. And there's nothing, I was like, I can't even imagine things getting any better. And now I'm sitting here at the end of it being like, that is still true.
Yeah.
Things with my wife are going great. And yet I'm so excited for the future of our relationship because of what could be and what can be if I and she are willing to lean into that together and what you guys are could experience in your relationships if you're willing to lean in as well. So I get excited at the possibility of seeing healthy, whole, happy marriages yeah. that glorify God. And don't have to be afraid mm-hmm. of having conversations around sex.
And again, that comes with redirecting your eyes towards your spouse. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. the world is screaming at you to look at me. And what we really need to be doing is looking at each other.
Yeah.
And when you focus on your marriage and put your mind there and make that a priority in your life, then you can start making these changes
yeah.
in all areas. Mm-hmm. But it's exciting to think that, yeah, your sex life will only get better. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you, it's like anything else. If you don't mm-hmm. practice it, it's not going to get better.
Do your homework.
Do your homework.
Do your homework.
I think that's the takeaway is do your homework.
Do your homework.
Do your homework.
I love it. Well, guys, again, thank you so much for joining us Absolutely. For this episode and for these conversations. Yeah. And guys, I look forward to you all getting to engage in your discussion groups and conversations around these. All links, notes from our conversations today in my email, as well as links to one of the book recommendations that Amanda mm-hmm. mentioned, The Listening Life, as well. And if you're okay with it, I'd love to share your contact info as well. I should probably just have asked this off air, but so now I'm putting you on the spot, so I'm not going to make you answer that question.
You're good.
But we just want you to know that there is help. Yeah. outside of the guys that you're meeting with as well. And so if you're in those conversations and you uncover, hey, there's some more help that I need in this area, then know that there is help available. So guys, we are so grateful for you committing these last 3 months to engaging in this conversation. And we really look forward to what God is going to do if you're willing to lean in. So thank you guys. We will see you next time.